cliffcentral.com. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you. Yeah. That's a nice way to start your morning. I'm in love with the shape of you. No matter what your shape, everybody's got some sexiness in their shape.
Can I just bring something up? This might be a trivial thing, but I'll go for it anyway.
Yep.
When someone says, like, tea, what's your impression of it? Must it be milky? Must it be strong?
This is getting personal.
Very controversial.
Now, this is something I don't understand, right? Tea is something you taste. It is a tea. If you want something that's just warm, then have warm water.
Okay, here's the purest view. It's close to what Ben seems to be espousing here. I take my cue here from someone who really knew how to make good tea. I think it counts for me. My mother likes it the same way. And nobody else that I've met really does. You've got to have a minimum of interference in the tea.
Yeah.
Because tea is the special part of this. Otherwise, as Ben says, you may as well have milky, sugary water. So tea has to be strong. You got to get those extra strong tea bags. It's got to look dark.
Yeah, it's got to have like a dark, deep brown. And the milk is to soften it. Go for it.
If you put any milk in, you got to put like a little bit of milk. I don't like it when people put too much milk in. But this is for me, obviously.
Yeah, but like I just want to know, are the two of us the minority here? Do people normally...
No, we're just grumpy old bastards.
It's like just liking a drink for what it is. I'm not being a grumpy old bastard here. I'm merely wanting to get some feedback.
Look,
I'm not trying to...
I don't drink a lot of coffee, so I'm very particular about the tea. So I like
the tea with a lot of tea, a little bit of milk, and half a sugar. I do think the way you drink your tea is very suspicious.
Why?
I'm curious about this.
But I'm not going to be too judgmental because my grandmother and my mother drink their tea with no milk, but lemon juice.
Oh, that's very sophisticated.
So, and
That's super sophisticated.
I really like my black tea with lemon juice over tea with milk.
I got you.
So then why?
See, he's about to throw up in his mouth.
Why is a small bit of milk suspicious if you're going to be so fruity on the other side of the spectrum?
Well, that's why I said I can't be too judgmental because, you know, I also like what I like.
But it has to be strong, though, essentially, is what I'm getting at here.
Okay. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, then why are you bothering putting the milk in?
Justice Malala doesn't care about this at all. He says, what are you people even talking about? I don't drink tea. I drink Johnny Blue.
Justice is so excited about this. He's like, right, I'm finally here for a decent conversation.
All right.
His face loving us before.
Justice Malala is here. Oh, you are a tea man. How do you like it?
Exactly.
No, this is important to us.
Very strong milk, just a tad.
There we go.
And
classy man, this.
And, okay. Well, I mean...
So I'm showing Justin's picture of what Lucas just made.
No,
is that tea?
No.
You guys have such vehement tea.
Stronger. No, please. That's so bad. That's so much. It's milk with tea.
Okay, I'm going to put this on Instagram on the Gareth Cliff Show page, and you can tell me if this is tea or
not. It's not tea.
Hang on, Lucas wants to try and defend himself.
There is different shades of tea, you know. That's 50 shades of tea, you know. It's either you have much lighter tea with milk and the darker one, so you can do whatever you want.
It's like 50 shades of tea, basically. Yeah. I believe in that.
That's like saying you can make lasagna any way you want. I'm just going to not put mince in this one. Like, then it's not lasagna, then it's just globby pasta.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that is not tea. I'm sorry.
All right, well...
Give it back.
Listen, we've got important things to discuss this morning, and tea is one of them. We're not going to denigrate the importance of this. Ben brought it up. Look at how many strident opinions we have. We got lemon.
No, I'm sorry. It's just, you know what? I'm working out. If that's the kind of tea we're having here, I'm leaving now.
So, Justice...
why don't you send me an email?
Yeah. Then, because if we're going to supply you with that kind of tea, you're not going to come in. You just do it on the phone. Justice, this is one hell of a quiet week. I don't know if we're going to find anything to talk about.
There's
nothing going on, obviously.
So, absolutely nothing going on.
When we last connected with you, by the way, if you've just come in, cliffcentral.com on the 1st of June, a brand new month, and a brand new month of troubles for the president with Justice Malala. It's brought to you by Nando's, as it is every week at the same time. So you had all kinds of... things to say before the NEC meeting, and What happened at the NEC meeting? Right?
Well, we know what... So, it's interesting that when we spoke on last Thursday, a lot of guys on Twitter, people saying, oh, Justice, you're going to pay Gareth Cliff a lot of money.
$100, right?
That's a lot of money. Because Jacob Zuma is going to go and, you know.
800 and...
And I said that. I started thinking, and on Friday, the Mail and Guardian came out with a report saying that out of the NEC's 106 members, 54 look like they were definitely behind the motion for Jacob Zuma to go.
How many actually voted against the president?
It didn't even come to a vote. 72 people spoke in the meeting.
Oh.
Only 18 spoke against Jacob Zuma. Out of the 72 who spoke.
How did the rest, the majority of speakers, how did they find enough material to say that was positive?
Yes.
Now, that would be an interesting story.
That is the real story.
I understand that what happens at these NECs is that they go in, but they've got to leave their phone and their iPad and all their digital devices at the door.
Yeah.
And so it's a closed session.
Yeah. And this practice started about 2 years ago when people actually hand in all their devices and so forth. So... that's quite interesting as well, because people were getting text messages from people inside that meeting. People were being forwarded messages. Reporters were getting what's going on inside.
Oh, really?
As President Jacob Zuma closed that meeting on Sunday evening, already some reporters were getting texts. So you know, I'm not sure just how the security is done and whether... you know, people were getting stories from 8 p.m. that now he's not going. By 9 p.m., people were saying, oh, he's standing up to speak. 10 p.m., he was telling people, if I see more of this, then I will, you know, come at you. So I'm not quite convinced that everyone's phone was off. There's a beautiful, is it a meme, of a picture of someone texting under the table.
Oh, yeah.
And people making jokes about that's NEC members as President Zuma is speaking, them sending all these messages out. So, you know, there you have it. What happened is that essentially Joel Nyatitsenda, who's well known for being one of the big brains in the ANC, went out there and said, President Jacob Zuma, it's interesting because his wording, from what I understand, was please consider resigning. Mm. There are many people in the ANC who say Joel Nyatitsenda was being weak. He should have said resign. That's a motion on the table. Yeah. And that motion would have had a seconder and it would have gone to a vote. Instead, he stood up and said, President Jacob Zuma, will you consider resigning in the interest of the movement? Now, that's very, very interesting for me, because Jacob Zuma could have just stood up and said, okay, thank you, Comrade Joel. I'm going to consider it. And step outside for 5 minutes and come back and said, I've considered it.
And I don't want to.
I don't want it. Let's move on now. Thank you very much. Then they'd have discussed a lot more stuff. Finished on time. Spent time with the family. Instead...
had to spend the whole weekend.
Yeah, spend the whole weekend discussing whether he should consider. I mean, we know what he'd have considered and what he'd have come back with.
Yeah.
So there you have it. President Zuma isn't out. And I think this is important. First of all, I think even people like me, I've always held that Jacob Zuma is still in charge, is still on top in the ANC. But something like this, and the numbers come in, and we start panicking and saying, oh, he's going. And that's why you saw the rent strengthen, people saying, oh, no, this is it. He's going now. But it is clear that Jacob Zuma is still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the structures of the ANC. On Sunday, when people were debating this, on the front of the City Press, on the front of the Sunday Times, were the stories about the extent of the Gupta family's grip on the ANC and on Jacob Zuma in particular. Basically, Jacob Zuma's son Duduzane, the Gupta family, are running a mafia racket in which they strong-arm state-owned enterprises, whether it's Eskom, many, many others, Danel, to do their bidding, and they make big cash out of it. This morning, the stories on the Daily Maverick showing that out of every 50 million rand that was used to buy locomotives, 10 million rand went to the Gupta family. So essentially, what you're seeing is the stripping of South Africa. And yet, all through Sunday, this debate went on. No one spoke about those emails that have been leaked to the newspapers. No one said, what's going on here? Those emails are so damning. Those emails are so bad. Let me, you know, after we spoke on Thursday morning, we spoke, and then academics from various universities issued a report. Those academics said, and I'm sure Sia has the report on his laptop there. I can see it. It's 72 pages long. That report said South Africa has undergone or is undergoing a silent coup due to the Gupta family. If you wanted to see evidence of that silent coup or what the SACC said a week and a half ago, that this is a mafia state, read those emails. In those emails, okay, let's take Jimmy Mani. Jimmy Mani sends a letter to the Gupta saying, oh, it's me, Justice, and Sia and Mabale. We want a job on the board of Transnet or SAA. He doesn't go to the structures of South Africa, the board or the...
No.
He goes to the Guptas. Let's take Museveni Zwane, the minerals minister. His CV is forwarded to the Guptas first for them to say, oh, okay, this guy, it makes sense for him to be the Minister of Minerals. And lo and behold, a month later, he's appointed as the Minister of Mineral Resources. Think about Faith Mutambi, who we've spoken about again and again on this show. If anyone should be the incompetence at SABC. But this person sits in a meeting of cabinet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sends notes to the Gupta saying this is what was discussed in cabinet today, and essentially saying this is how you position yourself to now eat and loot.
Is she the mole?
Essentially, well, basically saying, in terms of my portfolio, these are the things I can now do. For example, there's one email in which she discusses the powers of the minister. And yes, the powers of the minister include... At that session, the discussion was about, let's give the minister more powers to do 1, 2, 3, meaning that she could approve whether it's set-top boxes, for example, or
yeah,
or whatever, some or other thing. And therefore, now that she has been given that power, she's saying to them, oh, you can go ahead with that little ka-ka-ka, and then, boom, they are going to put in and she'll just sign off on it. You think about... weekend special, Des van Rooyen. Des van Rooyen has been telling us for a year and a half, since December 2015, that no, I went on holiday, Mabale, get this, I went on holiday for one day.
Yes.
To Dubai.
Yeah.
On my own cash, okay?
Yes.
But I got there and I thought, oh, it's very expensive. Oh, no. And so I turned right back and came home.
Now, hang on.
Des van Rooyen made a poor judgment call, guys. Why won't you just accept that for what it is?
I like a one-day holiday myself.
aren't there admissions in these emails that are grounds for criminal prosecution? Because there's obvious perjury, there's obvious embezzlement, there's clear control of the state by private entities, which in our constitution is not allowed.
Exactly. So, I mean, I want to really thank you for that, Gareth Cliff. You're a man of an upstanding man of the law and all that and all that. So let's say you. I agree with you. Perjury, all sorts of things going on. Yeah. By the way, so these emails in terms of Des van Rooyen.
Yeah.
It turns out that, you know, he was paid for by the Guptas. The CEO of the company arranged everything. He stayed in a hotel thanks to them, picked up in a Jaguar. You know, we know even the make of the car, everything. So this guy's been lying consistently to the people of South Africa for a year and a half. But no, it's okay.
It's okay. Keep lying.
Keep lying. You ask about Surely the law enforcement agencies should be doing something about this. They should. But you've got who can investigate this? So it could be the SIU, Special Investigating Unit. Mm-hmm. But for the Special Investigating Unit to do anything, President Jacob Zuma has to sign something called a proclamation saying,
yes,
you need to investigate the extent of the dealings between the Guptas and whoever in government.
He won't.
Oh yes, we used to have that Scorpions. Oops, sorry, they're called the Hawks now.
yeah, which and they're toothless.
The Hawks are a unit of the Zuma family, or should I say the Gupta family?
Yeah,
because whether it's Benning Tlemeza or someone else, they will not do anything about mm-hmm. this. They're too busy investigating Pravin Gordhan and
Robert McBride.
Robert McBride.
IPED.
Exactly. So. You know, when I was a kid, I read a very famous book called Catch 22. And in Catch 22, the main character is a soldier. Mm-hmm. I think his name is Yossarian. And it's the Second World War. And they keep telling him that you've got to fly 25 missions. So 25 missions to go and bomb the enemy and then come back. When you get to 25 missions, you can go home. But when you get to 24 missions, they say you got to go to 28 missions. And so you just when you think it's over, it's not over. And you're caught in this unending
tour of duty.
It's yeah, like never, exactly.
You're stuck in the desert shooting people.
Yeah, exactly. That's essentially it.
So look, the Hawks we can't rely on.
Yeah.
We can't rely on Shaun the Sheep in the National Director of Public Prosecutions.
No.
So even though these things are criminal,
yeah,
when there is evidence for criminality, can a citizen lay a charge? I mean, is there some other way to take this on?
I'm interested in all these people talking about the idea of a private prosecution. But first of all, I need to say, you know that the system is rotten. When people are trying to find ways outside of the law to prosecute the law. So a private prosecution is when Gareth Cliff or Mabala Moloi decide, I'm going to lay a charge and get this done through the courts, but brought by not Shaun the Sheep at the NPA,
mm-hmm.
but someone else. Basically a private prosecutor doing it. That's what Gerinel has set up with some other organizations, I think Solidarity among them, AfriForum, I think, among them. So that is essentially when our own agencies have failed, that is what is left. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that you have to go outside the structures that you have set up to get the law to work.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. So will there be prosecutions? Will there be anything out of this? I doubt it. Any not, I shouldn't say anywhere else in the world, but quite frankly, there should by now be people in prison gear. There should be people who have been, are being persecuted already, and sadly, no one is. And the one person who should absolutely be in jail by now is Jacob Zuma, because there are 783 counts of fraud, corruption, and racketeering, which have been proven already. So there's no doubt about this. But Sean...
Someone has already gone to jail, even though for a short time.
Exactly. The briber has gone to jail for that. The bribee is still running South Africa. So basically, you have collapse of the law. The structures of the law cannot touch Jacob Zuma or his associates. So, you know, to segue into this, what I'm saying is what we're seeing is a vast criminal enterprise built around Jacob Zuma, his son Dudu Zani, and the Gupta family.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is that Jacob Zuma is powerful politically. He has stolen the ANC, and he has made sure that the ANC does what he wants. With the ANC stolen like that, he can make it do whatever he wants, whatever he does with it. And in the meantime, the Guptas are taking the cash and siphoning some of it to him, some of it to his son, and to their associates. So are we surprised that Dudu Zani has an 18 or 20 million rand flat in Dubai? No, we are not. Are we surprised that Jacob Zuma wants to live in Dubai? No, we are not. This, when you start on the sly, you're the president of South Africa, and on the sly, you're trying to get citizenship of another country.
I mean, that's fairly damning. You don't need much more evidence.
You don't. And,
right?
And the evidence is all there. The evidence is becoming, it's so powerful that we can't ignore it. So we are in a catch-22 situation here. We know what is wrong. We know what should happen. We know how it happened, but we can't do anything about it. So Jacob Zuma stays in power and will most likely continue in power. And that's really...
You know what?
That's really it.
It's kind of depressing because it doesn't seem like there's any end game in sight, right?
Well...
Surely?
I thought it was interesting yesterday in Parliament. You know... Usually you have the president's budget vote, and then you have the EFF disrupting him and leaving and so forth. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth for our listeners to go and read Musima Emani's speech yesterday. Musima Emani's speech was pretty good. But the thing that brought the house into chaos was when he said, "President Gupta." And Baleka Mbete tried to shut him down, and there was a verbal fight about, oh, is it President Zuma or President Gupta? There's no President Gupta in here, and so forth. But if there is one way of describing all the things that we're going through, it is to say Jacob Zuma really is President Gupta,
mm-hmm.
or President Gupta is Jacob Zuma.
They're interchangeable.
It seems interchangeable.
Important cabinet appointments, all the prerogatives of the president have been exercised by a man who is not elected and a man who's not even a citizen of this country.
A man who South Africans cannot say, oh, that's the president. You know, it would be, oh, is that one of the Gupta brothers? Which one is that one? That one or that one? But this is where we are. And I think it's worth really reflecting on for South Africans to say, what did Nelson Mandela say? What did Oliver Tambo? This year, the ANC NRC government has declared it the year of Oliver Tambo. Yeah. Everyone has an Oliver Tambo lecture.
Yeah.
No one says, my word, guys, what would Oliver Tambo say? looking at South Africa.
But are you really going to try to appeal on that level, the level of history and legacy, to a bunch of people who in the NEC are going to defend open thievery, corruption? I mean, that these people don't care. That it's their time to eat.
Thank you. And I think that is what is happening. Why was Joel Nyatitandra defeated in that NEC? Why are the stalwarts and veterans of the ANC essentially ignored and were ignored in that NEC this weekend? Mm-hmm. It's because they are making the fundamental mistake I'm making. And that is to think that there is an ANC that... the ANC of Mandela, the ANC of Tambo, that can bring those values back. Those values are over. They've been stolen, they've been taken. So to draw a line from where you're asking further on is to say the ANC is dead. The ANC is dead because if you start like me, oh, what did Nelson Mandela say? What did Tambo say? Well, sorry, that ANC doesn't exist. You're appealing to something that is totally over. And what you have is a bunch of thieves, a bunch of looting vagabonds who are essentially doing it for themselves and pocketing the cash, and out the door they go. Passports to Saudi Arabian passports in their back pocket. That is what you have. So what does the future look like with this thieving administration in place, this thieving president in place and his associates, and where is it taking us?
But then you hear all this bleating from the sidelines, from Cyril, from COSATU, from the SACP. Ineffective. Makes no difference.
It makes absolutely no difference. That part of the cry you're hearing from John Yatitanza, Cyril, COSATU, and other, it's a cry of helplessness. Because what has happened is that when they go to an ANC meeting or meet with Jacob Zuma, he says, why don't you join a branch?
Yeah.
And start raise making your issues changes through from the organization.
From the grassroots level.
Exactly, exactly. And they are defeated because they tried to go to Morningside branch, for example. Morningside branch tried to meet about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The meeting was disrupted because new members had emerged at Morningside branch.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone said the real meeting of the Morningside branch will be at the 5-star hotel down the road. Certain people pitched up at the 5-star hotel, and guess what? They voted for Jacob Zuma's daughter as the branch chairperson. There you go. So there's a morning ANC in Morningside, and there's a new ANC in Morningside.
So try and capture the branches from someone who's been capturing things for a long time.
Exactly.
I defy you.
So all these people in the ANC who are saying, they are totally, totally...
irrelevant.
Irrelevant. The ANC that they're talking about, the ANC that they know, it doesn't exist.
All those discussions we used to have about how real opposition will come from within the tripartite alliance are dead in the water. We now need to look at who is fighting for the people of South Africa. Who is? I mean, we've got this very odd coalition of very different ideologies in COPE, the IFP, the EFF, the DA. Are these people able to muster enough support to bring any real change?
Look, I think the next 2 years will be... So if I can... there's one line that you can draw. Jacob Zuma wins on Sunday. Jacob Zuma's faction of the ANC wins in December. And Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma becomes president of South Africa, of the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, she stands as a candidate for the ANC president of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Sia gets excited and says, oh, maybe I should vote for her. No, yes, no. And then he says, no, I'll vote for Julius Malema. But then in the 2 years between December and a year and a half, between December and May, June, when we go to vote in 2019, I think we speak about the ND, the National Director of Public Prosecutions being stolen. We speak about the public protector being stolen. I mean, where is she when we're talking about ESCOM and the shenanigans there and so forth?
Nowhere.
You talk about all these institutions that have been stolen. I think the next 2 years will be about whether the IEC gets stolen, gets captured, or not. If in 2019 the IEC is a strong, independent institution, then it doesn't matter. That coalition that you're talking about will do very well. In my view, in Gauteng, the ANC can kiss power goodbye in 2019. I think in this province, the ANC will go from where it is, I think it's 54%, to below 50%. Gauteng is going away from the ANC. So who will save us? It don't be a knight in shining armor arriving saying, I'm Superman. Boom, Mabale, you're saved now. It don't be. It will be, you know, coalition, you know, people building a messy something out of what we have. The second thing to watch out for is just how deep is the division inside the ANC, and will people have the gonads to do what Musiwa Lekota did in 2008, 2009, and that is to say, you know what, it's time to walk away. Oliver Tambo, Nelson Mandela, that legacy, but this is not it, and it's time to walk away. Is Cyril Ramaphosa capable of that? People like Joel Nyetitanza, who keep on saying, oh dear, oh this, oh the great ANC, the mighty, glorious ANC, are they capable of that? Remember that these are people who did not support Lekota and Mbazi Mashilowa in 2009. They watched them leave and they said, no, we'll fix it from inside the house. Where are they now, 10 years, 7 years, 8 years later?
Well, there's no roof on the house.
Exactly.
It's been taken by the Guptas.
And so, with that in mind, and with the fact that COPE did implode badly, will they have the courage to again say, it's time to walk out? I don't know if these people can walk away. You know, we say this, people like using the expression the good ANC and the bad ANC, the bad ANC being the Jacob Zuma ANC. But the good ANC is complicit in this matter. These are people who, if you take Cyril Ramaphosa, the Jacob Zuma administration was in trouble in 2012. Cyril Ramaphosa decided, you know what, I'm going to go in with Jacob Zuma as his deputy president. Jacob Zuma told his people, vote for Cyril, and Cyril got 75% of the vote in Mangaung. And so, on January 12, 2013, Fitch issued a statement saying South Africa is fine because Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be the prime minister, essentially, of South Africa. So Cyril Ramaphosa took his name, his good reputation,
right,
and sugarcoated Jacob Zuma. Is he now capable of walking away from that Jacob Zuma? I don't know. So there is a possibility of a split in the ANC. But if you look at the 72 people who spoke at that NEC, only 18 spoke for Jacob Zuma to leave. Those who sat, out of the others who spoke, the 54 who spoke, it's interesting for me that not all of them said we are pro-Jacob Zuma. They said, no, for the sake of the organization, let's not have this motion of no confidence. Let's work together inside the house.
Didn't work.
It's basically, there's a man in the house who's beating up his wife, his kids, everyone is terrorized in the house. But they're saying, let's not show the neighbors that we are fighting or that there's a monster.
Let's not call the police. We'll keep taking a beating.
Yes.
Because our husband really loves us. It's just he's having a tough time at work.
Exactly. That is essentially what is happening.
So when we say men are trash, let's turn the debate inwards in the ANC, because although this is a metaphor, it's in every way accurate.
It's sadly so. It's very sadly so. So you have a situation here that is just unpleasant at so many levels. And I don't know if the ANC can walk out of that. So will there be a split? Possibly. I think there might be a walk away. COSATU seems to be saying walk away. And SACP certainly saying walk away. And a few other people pretty much saying the same thing. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that. But it's interesting times ahead. But no knight in shining armor. No risky. I think certainly look at what happens inside the ANC. And then, you know, Julius Malema, young guy. You look at what happened in France with Emmanuel Macron.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's continued to take away from the ANC. I think Musi Mamani, with speeches like yesterday, pity about Helen and her tweeting. But but I think all of them will gain from the ANC's failure to act against its president and failure to reform itself and fix itself. So a perfect storm with all that stuff. But I think we need to do a reflection as South Africans about where we are, that we are not even outraged that the president has given given the country to the Gupta family. That is what it is. And I think we will pay for it if we don't do anything about it soon.
Oh, my God.
There's one other story that I really would like to talk about.
Sure.
At Solima Paila's house, Solima Paila is the Deputy Secretary General of the South African Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people calling themselves the MK Foundation, Umkhonto weSizwe Foundation, pitch up at his house. A certain TV station owned by the Gupta family is there. And they say, we are here to have a friendly conversation about Solima Paila's attacks, they say, on Jacob Zuma. And basically, this is a threat that, you know, will take you out. There'll be violence if you don't keep quiet. At the same time, over the past 2 weeks, Makosi Khoza, I think you've interviewed her.
She's coming on the show soon.
Yeah. Makosi Khoza says to the Speaker of Parliament, protect me. Members of the ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal have been circulating my address on social media, saying people should march to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Her children are in KZN. And essentially saying, stop saying what you're saying, stop being critical of President Jacob Zuma, or something will happen to you. This is a member of parliament on the ANC list. Solima Paila is the Deputy Secretary General of the SACP. He has been very vocal. He's the man who said, we don't have a president. Our president has been stolen by the Gupta family. He continues to say all these things. We come from a very violent place in South Africa. And to see the beginnings of this sort of violence is absolutely, absolutely incredible, and it shouldn't be happening. And I'm amazed that actually nothing has been done about it or is being done about it. And I think that Jacob Zuma needs to be confronted with, one, why is it people are doing these things in your name and you're not saying a word? He needs to tell us who those MK Foundation people are and why he hasn't said anything about the fact about what they're doing. He needs to tell them to cease and desist from what they're doing. And I haven't heard him say so. So I think we need, this is for me is a huge red flag. If we don't stop this now, we're going to have people attacked, killed because they differ with Jacob Zuma or the MK, whatever. It's absolutely wrong, and it should be stopped.
And he, so, but he of all people, now we can appeal to someone who we know during the very fractious times in KwaZulu-Natal had a lot to do with bringing people together and with taking the ANC and the IFP out of violence and into discussion. And this is the president.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's anything good on his copybook prior to him being president, it is this. He did a tremendous job for the ANC and for the country in trying to smooth those relations out with the IFP. He has good links with the king, with a lot of the hierarchy in the traditional leadership in KZN. He's respected by many people there. For him to tacitly approve of this is for him to betray that legacy also. Is there any part of him that will be left unblemished?
Exactly. I mean, this, for me, that so there was a by-election in Mutu.
Why was this important? I saw them making a big fuss of it over the weekend.
It's because this is an area where the IFP had lost to the ANC and the NFP, and in the last elections on August 3, there was actually essentially a tied result with IFP pretty much tied with ANC, NFP, and the administration couldn't work. There was no mayor for the past, I think, four months. Mm-hmm. They couldn't make the whole thing work. But this is a province, an area where the ANC has just been gaining ground since 1994. And the ANC sent Jacob Zuma, sent Cyril Ramaphosa, sent all the big guns. And what happens? Lo and behold, the ANC got a beating there. I think out of 19 wards, the ANC got 3, and the IFP got something 16, something like that. I don't have the exact result. But the ANC got a big walloping in Mutu. And so for me, the key thing is an ANC that is not in power in KwaZulu-Natal, will it revert to these kinds of actions? Will it become violent? Will it fall back on those bad traditions of the past or practices of the past? And I think that is something to think about very, very seriously in this at this time. So something needs to happen. Something needs to be done. But I think a message that says "not in our name." Jacob Zuma hasn't been using that message enough, and I think he needs to be seen to be saying those things.
Thank you, Justice. Another action-packed burning platform powered by Nando's. You can catch all of this on podcast if you missed any of it during the live discussion this morning. Thank you, Justice. We'll see you next week.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Justice Malala, everybody. Feel it coming. The weekend. The weekend is only one day away. It's Uzak Thursday today. Lots of people very excited about that. So, are you ready? Because it is time, everybody. It's time to play a game with Sia Sangweni. We spoke about this yesterday. Why? You sound nervous. You all right there?
You know, it's like, are you ready? I'm like, can one ever really be?
Sia, you better be.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be at this point.
All right. Well, it is time for us to play a game of how much does Sia actually know about sport? Hosted by Ben Karpinski. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good day, Gareth. Good day, all. Sia Sangweni. Today's sports quiz is going to be a selection of quick-fire questions. You shall be no dillying nor dallying over the answers.
Uh-huh.
It is of a very basic nature. I ask the question, you provide the answer.
All right.
Are we clear of these rules?
Got you. How many questions and what's a pass mark?
Pass mark is 100%.
Okay.
Who will be scoring this? Mabali Moloi.
He's playing by himself.
Yeah, but you'll be keeping score.
Oh, right here.
Okay. Why else do you have two laptops? Sorry. Why else do you have two laptops in front of
her? Mabali's got so many laptops open in front of her, she doesn't know where she is.
Air traffic control of something.
Exactly. She's running OR Tambo from a remote.
All right. Let's get this party started.
All right.
Started.
The audience very upset with Mabali.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. Let's get straight into it then. Ben, whenever you're ready, it's time to play How Much Does Sia Sangweni Know About Sport?
Sia, how many points in rugby does a try give you?
Oh, come on, guys.
I asked you for quick answers here. No theatrics.
Four.
Incorrect. It's five. Sia, how many points does a conversion get you in rugby?
Three.
Incorrect. It's two. Sia, how many points does a penalty get you in rugby?
I thought a penalty was in soccer. But there was a penalty in rugby.
Yes.
Don't worry, Sia. Don't let him throw you with these difficult questions. Go ahead
Process
and ask.
Process of elimination. If five is a try and two is a conversion, somewhere in the middle, penalty is three.
Correct, Sia.
Oh, yes!
Let's not show both that. It was an easy question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In tennis, the scoring of each game is broken down as...
6-2, 6-1, 6-4, 6-love.
Those are
Venus, Serena Williams.
Okay, you know what? Maybe my question wasn't good enough. In a game, what are the denominations of scoring? In a game of tennis, the scoring denominations.
It's like a quarter, right?
Incorrect.
They're
love,
broken down.
Love, 15, 30, and 40 are your scoring denominations.
See, don't I get a half a mark?
No, you don't. See, okay. In cricket, how many overs are played in a day of test match cricket?
I know what ODI stands for.
You can.
Which is one day international.
See, it's got to be quick. I've got lots to get through here.
Wait.
How many overs in a day of test match cricket? Incorrect.
Seven.
It's not seven, it's 90. How many overs are in an ODI innings?
It's under 10.
Incorrect, it's 50.
Never mind.
So yeah, how many overs in a T20 innings?
Can I call a friend?
No, you can listen to the question. How many overs in a T20 innings?
How many overs
in a T20?
In a 20.
Correct, sir.
Oh.
How many balls in an over in all cricket?
It's more than 10.
It's not. It's 6. Incorrect. Sia, which sports would you associate the following players?
Okay, I'm good with people.
David Miller.
Oh, man.
Incorrect. Cricket. Opa Mohoja.
Soccer.
Incorrect. Rugby. Stuart Baxter.
Oh, soccer.
Correct. Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. Football.
Golf. Sebastian Vettel.
Oh, he's a Red Bull ambassador. F1. There we
Correct.
Go.
Correct. Kei Nishikori.
Golf.
Incorrect. Tennis. Eugenie Bouchard.
That name sounds familiar. I feel like you have mentioned him in your report before.
It's a her.
I was just testing you guys.
Gonna push you for an answer here.
Eugenie Bouchard is tennis.
Correct. So yeah, how many players in a rugby team?
Wait,
13? No, 15. Oh. So, yeah, how many players in a cricket team?
11.
Yes, correct. Oh. How many players in a football team?
That's also 11.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's 4-4-2.
I'm going to mention a team name. You must tell me what sport they're associated to. First up, the Mumbai Indians.
Cricket.
Correct. Chicken Inn FC.
Who now?
The Chicken Inn FC. Ben has spoken about them before.
FC's football club.
Correct,
football.
Sia. Well there done. The Cheetahs.
Cheetahs and the Lions are rugby.
Correct, Sia.
Extra points for referencing Lions.
And no. final three questions here. If I mention these, what sport are they associated to? Ryder Cup.
That sounds familiar. Wait, Ryder Cup. Ride along to a try. No, you ride and you hit an eagle and go.
Gonna push you for this one, sir.
Ryder Cup is Golf.
Correct. Oh, yes. The Stanley Cup.
Stanley also sounds familiar.
Spoke about it yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Because I remember Stanley is cricket. Cricket.
Incorrect. Ice hockey. And the Super Bowl.
Oh, I know. Super Bowl halftime show. Major, major, major. That's football.
American football. Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Can I give you... I can give you like the five artists who performed at the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'm sure you could see it, but that's for another day.
Well, he got 12.
12 out of?
I don't know how many questions.
Oh my God, what a horrible score.
You did better than what I would have done, Sia, and that's the honest truth.
12 out of 23. Well done, Sia.
That's more than... what?
No, 12 out of 23 is just over half.
Yeah.
Just over half. That's very disappointing, Sia. I'm so sorry. We really thought we had high hopes for you.
Really?
Technically, it's a pass. So technically, Ben, we have to say this has been somewhat of a success for Sia.
Woo!
It is a pass, Gareth, but those were some of the most basic questions I could possibly have thought of. Yeah. So, like I said...
I actually broke a bit of a sweat there. No reference of Cristiano Ronaldo, David Beckham, Serena Williams. That's my...
So what you're basically saying is my test was substandard.
Sia versus Ben, oh my soul, brilliant, says somebody. And Zandi says on the line, oh shit, this is horrible. Sia knows nothing about sport. Hey guys, congrats Sia for us not in the industry. What does a producer do? Clearly you know nothing.
Yeah.
And then someone says that this is probably the most embarrassing game show ever held.
Oh, this is...
on Earth. I mean, especially for Sia, who hates getting things wrong.
Oh, that is bad.
All right. Well, we've got some surprises coming up for you in the next hour, everybody. We've got some exciting things happening. We've got Miss Gay Josie coming in. That's right. Over the, I think it was the last week or two, there was a big pageant held, and Miss Gay Josie was chosen, and Buene Nchilo and the first princess, Crystal Guns, will be in to join us this morning. Very exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to meeting them. And we'll talk all about it. They're in their full regalia this morning for Miss Gay Josie. And just in case you don't know a whole lot about the pageant, I'll fill you in on that too. Singing Johannesburg banker wins Miss Gay Josie 2017 was the headline in the newspapers. We'll find out. We'll maybe even get to hear some of the singing. The show included performances by the likes of people that you will have heard from. Do you want to hear their names, Mubs?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Ruan Justin Powell, mm-hmm. Charmante Diamante,
ooh.
Labels de Glamour, and the SAT Divas, and of course the inimitable host, Zsa Whitney Gabor Houston.
Zsa.
Yes, a very, very powerful lineup there, and at the end of the night, an emotional Nchilo emerged victorious as the queen. She was followed by Crystal Guns as first princess, and Dogazi Shabalala as second princess. We're going to meet all of these lovely people in just a moment or two. It's a very big morning for us this morning on the Gareth Cliff Show. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very exciting. You thought Justice Malala was the highlight this morning. Well, have I got news for you. And there we go. That very embarrassing quiz brought to you by Ben Karpinski this morning. Not to humiliate Sia, but just to show how not everybody knows everything and no. You can't know everything about everything. And Sia knows nothing about sport.
I at least know terminology.
Well, then I give the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that one I was quite impressed by. I thought he was definitely going to get that one wrong.
I do know ODI. That for me is like the creme de la creme of my sporting vocabulary.
You think it's a
10-over
sport, so you, therefore you don't know what ODI is.
Okay, may I be honest? I still don't know what an over is.
Six balls.
Oh.
So when a bowler bowls six balls, an over is complete.
Even Lucas is laughing at you. I don't know how much Lucas knows about cricket. Are you a big cricket fan, or what's the story here? No. You're laughing at him like you know better.
No, I'm not a big cricket fan, but when he said he doesn't know what's an over, I'm like, yeah. Right.
I just know the term. I don't know. And I actually played rugby. Well, played as a very
you played
loose
rugby?
Term.
Hold on, this is... Ah, Amanda, why do you
Excuse
laugh like
me?
That? Sure, that was
the
mean.
Laughter from the other room.
What position did you play in rugby?
Oh, yeah. I've
heard this story about 3,000 times. You played lock.
Oh, yeah, man.
The lock has
to be...
the
under 14 Cs, and he ran away from the ball.
Yeah.
The lock has to be a substantial size. The lock holds the scrum together, right, Ben?
Yeah. You just have to hold on to the guy's pants. That's all you have to
just
do.
Think, like, just think.
No, not even in
Ibn
that way.
Ibn Etzebeth and C.S. Sangweni, those are pretty much that's what lock is.
They're the same.
But yes, the lock does put his hand through the prop's legs.
Yeah, you know, just get well acquainted. That's my
Sia basically got the ball, knocked it on just so they could scrum.
Yeah.
I didn't know I even had that power.
If you'd just done your research, you could have maximized your usefulness in the lock position.
Oh, damn it. Well, those were my under 14 F glory days.
Is he on Skype or on phone? Phone. Okay, let's go to Sean. Sean is on the line. He wants to speak to Mabale this morning.
Oh.
Yes, there's a call for you, Mubs. Yes, Sean, go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hi, Sean.
Mabale, I've got a bit of beef with you this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Ben on what he said about that. What that girl's name, Kathy Griffin, and Donald Trump. So who's the funniest guy in at Cliff Central? Probably Casper the Priest, I think. He's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if Gareth, if you had to walk into the office and there was Casper standing with your head dripping of blood, would that be funny?
I would be the first one to post an Instagram pic of that, but that's just because I'm a little bit sick in the head.
Exactly. So it's not. I don't know since when it was okay for someone to do something like that. You know, since when do we see that as okay? You have a head in your hand, dripping of blood. It's just as a society, I think that, to be honest, if that's okay, that's just fucked up.
Well, Sean, I was trying to understand what about this particular incident makes it so different when the normal topic of conversation with the show is, you know, freedom of speech overrides how something makes you feel or how it offends you. So really what I'm trying to understand is why is the line being drawn in X but not drawn in Y, for example?
Freedom of speech is one thing, but standing with someone raising your hand is not seen as normal. That's not normal. It's not a normal kind of joke to make.
Yeah,
right?
but
I mean, there are instances where rape jokes have been acceptable or, you know, satire using rape has been accepted. So this is precisely my question, is where does that line get drawn? Because that's also not normal.
You know, I hate to bring this very interesting debate to an end, but I got to tell you, man, it's all a point of view. It's a taste thing. Some people find this tasteless and unacceptable. Other people think it's just someone trying to be funny and failing. And other people do think it's funny. So it comes down to taste. And my point with freedom of speech is nothing is absolute, but you got to err on the side of people saying what they think and even sometimes doing really dumb stuff, because the alternative is much worse. What you seem to be saying here is that occasionally certain things should be either illegal or unlawful or declared unacceptable in the public arena, right? Is that what you're saying about this thing with Kathy Griffin?
Yeah, I suppose to a certain extent. It's the same thing as this other woman that Ben played a little clip of hers, you know, talking about this the gay and the lesbian marriages. We've got an opinion about that as a group. So it's okay for us to then judge her because as a group or society, it's not okay for her to say whatever she was saying.
No. But none of us are saying she shouldn't say it. We're taking what she says. I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not saying she shouldn't say it. We're taking what she says and we're figuring out how we feel about it, which is what I suppose adult people should do. But if she was not allowed to say it, does that mean she wouldn't be thinking it? No, she'd still be thinking it. We would just never know, which puts us in a worse position, not her.
Well, we can debate about this another time.
You might. No. Sean, don't back out now because you're losing. I'm going to hammer this home, dude. You've got to let people say stupid stuff. Let people say offensive stuff because then we know what we're dealing with. If Kathy Griffin...
Don't you think that's what's wrong with us, though? It's because we've got no filter.
No, but...
And that's what that's what's young wrong with the
No.
Younger guys as well.
There are so many filters in society that political correctness has made it impossible for some people to express themselves. I would rather deal with the most offensive, hideous, nasty, unfunny thing in the world than not know what Sean thinks.
Sean, I think if anything, what it means is that it obviously needs a lot more discussion and debate. But you know, that's productive.
Me, we've seen the and I agree when it comes to rape jokes and all of that. That's all it's tasteless, to be honest. standing with someone holding your hand when just maybe a month or two ago, another soldier was beheaded that was up in Afghanistan or wherever these bloody bastards are. It's not tasteful. It's wrong, you know. Especially standing with your president head in your hand, I would not even, you know, if we had to do something like that here in South Africa, can you imagine us standing with Jacob head in our hand,
okay,
dripping of blood?
But maybe it's maybe it's satirical. I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe it's someone trying to be funny and failing horribly. Does that mean we've got to hunt that person down and lock them in jail? Sean, come on.
No, I get what she was trying to do.
Don't buy what she's selling. So if Kathy Griffin is not funny to you anymore because of this last joke, then don't watch her shows. Don't buy her stuff. Don't support her. Tell everybody what you think of her, which is what you're doing, and I applaud you for that. But let's not shut her down and say that she should go to jail for her voice, her opinion, or what she thinks is funny, right? It's the same reason I don't necessarily want the picture of Jacob Zuma, the assegai painting where he's got his dick out. I don't want that on my wall, but I appreciate that there is freedom of speech enough for an artist to be able to paint that. It's why Zapiro can draw a cartoon of a rape that's just happened, and it's figurative. You need to be adult enough to climb out of the situation and realize that there's a difference between the real world of ISIS hacking off heads and Kathy Griffin, maybe an unfunny comedian going over the line.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
You
sound depressed about it. I'm going to let you. Thanks, Sean. Yeah. I'm sorry you couldn't win this one. All right.
Gareth, it's not about winning or losing.
Yes,
why
it is.
Everyone always have to be right or wrong.
We're trying
to discuss things.
My thing was, where do you draw that line then?
Exactly.
And who gets to decide where that line gets drawn?
And can we be surprised if CNN fires her?
Listen. Let's get all serious now. This is a fun show. I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong. I'm being sarcastic with him that he lost the argument. The real truth is exactly what my buddy says. No, I don't know the answer. It's a matter of taste. But what you're not allowed to do is infer that your taste is superior to mine and that your taste should be the rule. And I'm saying, Kathy Griffin, you like her, you don't like her. You think she's funny, you don't think she's funny. Cool. Just understand that's your opinion. Like her opinion is that Donald Trump's head severed is funny.
True, but we can't be surprised if CNN then fires her.
No, we're not. We're not surprised.
No.
I mean, that's the standard procedure.
Yeah. All these media organizations are a bunch of pussies. Yeah. They tried to fire me over free speech issues here in South Africa.
That's standard procedure. Nobody's surprised about that.
Yeah, that CNN thing where she works for CNN once
a year. Who even knew?
And they want to make it seem like a big deal.
Exactly. Probably just remind us, CNN, what, we pay this woman for something?
Yeah. Let's go to Sia on the line. Hey, Sia. Siabonga. Also on telco? I don't hear him. Sia, are you there? Guys, have you selected the line? I can't seem to do it on this side. All right, well, we'll see if we can get back to him in a second. Look, this is never going to end, this free speech conversation, because it's not a winnable argument. It's not something that you can have absolute rules on. Some people are going to say, this is the line. Other people are going to say, no, push it further. And then they're going to say at some point, this is the line. And everybody, as soon as it affects them, they get all uppity and touchy about it.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
Like Donald Trump's going to say, it's very unacceptable. This is very bad taste. I noticed, by the way, that Donald Trump did not say she should be banned, she should be locked up, she should be shut down. He said a very sober, very sensible thing. He said, kavuva fifa.
Which I think he nailed it with that.
All right, very nice. So, yes, Mr. Trump, go ahead. Right, that was his next tweet after that, after the meds kicked in.
What did he exactly say when he went to a space station, by the way?
Oh, this is great.
I
love this. This is Donald Trump. Yeah, you got to hear this. We're going to get to Miss Gay Josie in a second. Don't panic, anybody. But this is so funny. So Donald Trump was talking to the guys on the International Space Station. Okay, and they, you know, presidents get to do this. The rest of us would love to interview the people on the International Space Station. It's very difficult to do. It's expensive to set up the communications.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a chance here to ask really interesting questions of the people on the ISS. I thought this might be interesting to you. So this is the conversation with Donald Trump talking to NASA astronauts about what they're doing in outer space. And maybe you'll find this interesting. He's sitting at the desk with someone from NASA and with Ivanka, who you know is his sister wife. I mean, oh, I mean his daughter. What is she again? His daughter.
Just
that's
his
right.
Daughter, yeah.
Daughter
She's
wife.
His daughter, yeah. And here they are talking to the people in the ISS, the International Space Station. All right, have a listen to this. This is President Donald Trump with Peggy Whitson from NASA and Ivanka, his daughter wife.
Stop it.
Actually, isn't that what it is?
I actually like it. Let's make that stick, please.
Let's take a moment to let that sink in before we even start with NASA. God. All right, Mr. President, go ahead.
And what are we learning from having you spending your time up there? I know so much research is done. I'm getting a glimpse of some of it right here in the Oval Office. What are we learning by being in space?
Well, I think probably the International Space Station is providing a key bridge from us doing living on Earth to going somewhere into deep space. So on those Mars missions, we need to better understand how microgravity is really affecting our body, and we need to understand it in great detail. So many of the studies are looking at the human body. We're also looking at things that involve operations of a space vehicle on these long-duration missions, and the technological advancements that will be required. For instance, on a multi-year Mars mission, we're going to need to be able to close the life support system. And that means we, right now, for instance, are taking solar power that we collect and using it to break apart water into oxygen and hydrogen. The oxygen we breathe, of course, we use the hydrogen, combine it back with the CO2 that we take out of the air, and make more water.
Now, at this point, Trump is pretty much falling asleep. You can imagine at the desk.
Such
right?
A pressure.
Where is carbon? Can I make money out of carbon dioxide? Can I cash that in for money?
This resource up here that we also are cleaning up our urine and making it drinkable.
Did you hear that?
Cleaning up our urine.
Yeah, they take the
drinkable.
Well, they take the urine and they filter it, and then they use that water that you pull out of the urine, which isn't. It's just water. It could have gone through a filtration process. It could have just been, you know, a lot of the water in our groundwater is just filtered through soil. You don't know. It could have been urine before. Might have been moose urine or dinosaur urine once, but now it's water in the earth.
Our urine and making it drinkable, and it's really not as bad as it sounds.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Better you than me.
All right, so that was what he said, better you than me. He's thinking, I don't want any of this recycling. I hate the environment. So there's Donald Trump.
That's right, him being supportive.
Yeah, that's
better
him,
you than me.
That's his interest in science. After that, he went straight back to not paying any attention to science at all. Remind me tomorrow when we've got a bit of time, I want to talk about Whoopi Goldberg, some very controversial things she said on the View.
Ooh.
About women who get beaten. By men, and it's such a topic in this country, and it's something that everybody in the world is interested in talking about. And what Whoopi Goldberg had to say got her quite a lot of heat on The View. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But before we get to any of that, in the next little while, prepare yourself, because we have none other than Miss Gay Josie and the first runner-up. And they're both going to pop in, say hello to us in the next few minutes. You don't want to miss this. It's coming right up on cliffcentral.com. CliffCentral.com.